You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
This one's for Pat. The ball is free. Denver's got a touchdown, Denver.
Here's your host of Locked On Broncos, NFL analyst Cody Rourke.
Broncos country, welcome to another episode of Locked On Broncos, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network. This is your host, Cody Rourke, and unfortunately for you, I have no Victory Monday show in store for you here at Locked On Broncos as the Denver Broncos fall in Oakland by a score of 21-14. Now, at one point, the game looked very out of hand for Denver. We'll explain the good, the bad, the ugly, and what's ahead. Obviously, a look ahead to the Miami Dolphins and just what's going on with the Denver Broncos overall right now. Everything that's happened during this seven-game skid, the Broncos dropped seven straight games after starting off the year 3-1, headed into the bye week, have been 0-7 ever since, and it's just the same thing, same formula, wash, rinse, repeat over here in Denver, and I'm going to explain all that for you here on tonight's episode of Locked On Broncos. Now, going back and recapping the whole entire game for the Denver Broncos against the Raiders, they really came out, I thought, in the very beginning of the game, I thought for about a quarter and a half, the Denver Broncos did very well for a quarter and a half at the very beginning of the game. It was 0-0. If you missed the game and you didn't get a chance to see the replay, if this is the first recap of the Broncos-Raiders game that you're getting, well, here's how it went. Obviously, the Denver Broncos opened up, and things were just chaotic from the beginning. Okay, we had a one play where Chris Harris Jr. was lined up on Michael Crabtree. Crabtree, apparently, what appears to be on film, takes a cheap shot, a swing either at the gut or the groin of Chris Harris Jr., which requires Chris Harris Jr. to require a little bit of medical attention. Trainers come out to see him, and at that point, they really didn't have a replay, so we were sitting there scratching our heads as what happened, but Chris Harris Jr. looked visibly frustrated, visibly mad, and he was pointing at Michael Crabtree. He was pointing at the Raiders bench area, and you could tell by reading his lips that he was pretty upset. So, lo and behold, the very next play, we see the eruption, the brawl between Aqib Talib and Michael Crabtree. Now, all of this stemmed because of the Chris Harris Jr. So we saw it last year. When Harry Douglas went low on Chris Harris Jr. and took a very dirty, cheap shot on him, well, the next play, Aqib Talib and the Broncos defense went after Harry Douglas. Now, it was the same exact thing here with Michael Crabtree. Michael Crabtree takes a shot at Chris Harris Jr. Harris leaves the field for a few plays, and then all of a sudden, the next play, after getting hit with the cheap shot, all the emotions erupted on the field. Aqib Talib and Michael Crabtree engaged in a scuffle. It all started with a block and kind of extended a little extracurricular. Aqib Talib once again took the chain. He snatched the chain from Michael Crabtree on the field once again, and now Aqib Talib is now being called two chains, and that's going to stick over here at Locked On Broncos. If you want to hear Aqib Talib's reaction, his analysis on it, you can hear him tomorrow morning on the Vic Lombardi Show. Follow Vic Lombardi on Twitter, at Vic Lombardi. Great guy. I love Vic Lombardi's show every morning. Gets me out of bed as well as, you know, on the way to listening to Locked On Nuggets, Locked On Broncos. We'll tell you about that here in a second. But Aqib Talib will be on air with Vic Lombardi tomorrow morning, 8:15 a.m. Denver time. It definitely is going to be a good interview. I'll definitely be tuning in as well to hear about that. But Deion Sanders tweeted that he talked with Aqib Talib, and Aqib expressed that he was disappointed in what he did. But at the same time, he didn't apologize. He understands it can't happen again, but he didn't apologize. And I don't think Aqib Talib should apologize. Now, him and Michael Crabtree have had a beef for a long time, dating back to San Francisco. And apparently, Michael Crabtree came out with the intent to not play football, and many Broncos defenders said the same exact thing. Zach Kerr backed up Aqib Talib and Chris Harris Jr. Vance Joseph says this absolutely can't help it happen. It's stupid. I would say I might be on the minority side saying I like it. I liked the scuffle. Now, don't misinterpret what I'm about to say here. I love the scuffle. I think it was much needed. That was the most entertainment that I've seen in the Denver Broncos in the last 7 weeks. That was the most fighting entertainment I've seen from the Denver Broncos in 7 weeks. And to be honest with you, I think it's appropriate. Now, I'm not saying that it's appropriate to throw fists, take helmets off, throw helmets, try to use a helmet as a weapon. But there is nothing wrong with getting into a shoving match, a scuffle, because it energizes you. And the Denver Broncos defense, after that, they played tenacious until the offense for the Denver Broncos, Paxton Lynch, threw an interception in the goal line, in the red zone, after a Shaq Barrett strip sack fumble recovery. Paxton Lynch rolled out to his left on second down, fired it in between a window of three defenders. It got tipped, and the ball miraculously landed in Navarro Bowman's arms. Navarro Bowman was laying on his back when the ball was tipped, and then he caught the interception. And then at that point, it all went downhill for the Denver Broncos. They picked on rookie Brennan Langley, who had to step up because Aqib Talib was ejected due to the scuffle with Michael Crabtree. And Crabtree was gone as well. And it was just it was an ugly start, but it was very entertaining. I know a lot of people are on Twitter. They're debating. I talked about it on Facebook, on some Facebook groups. I love the scuffle personally because I think it's energizing. I think it gives you the ability to play fired up. Now, like I said, don't throw fists. Don't throw helmets. But you can push and shove and curse at each other. Absolutely. That gets you fired up. And it got me fired up. I don't know about you, but I want to hear your thoughts. Tweet me at CodyRourkeNFL, at Lockdown Broncos. Your thoughts on the Aqib Talib and Michael Crabtree scuffle that we had as well. So looking ahead to tonight's show, we're going to talk about the Broncos-Raiders game recap. Obviously, Denver falls 21-14 on the road. Tough game against the Oakland Raiders. And this game got away from the Denver Broncos shortly after the offense of the Denver Broncos threw interception. The interception we talked about just a few moments ago. Paxton Lynch trying to thread it into Virgil Green in between three defenders in the red zone on second down. Ball gets tipped, put back. Navarro Bowman's laying on his back, and the ball miraculously lands in his hands. And at that point, that's when it went downhill. Brennan Langley, like I said, rookie, he got picked on. He was lined up on Amari Cooper. And at this point, this is where I still continue to question some of the coaching decisions, because ideally, when you lose a guy like Aqib Talib, who are you going to put on Amari Cooper? You need to put a guy by the name of Bradley Roby or Chris Harris Jr. Now, Chris Harris Jr. was lined up on Seth Roberts most of the game, and I think that was a great matchup. Justin Simmons was lined up on Jared Cook in the tight ends. That was a great matchup. Now, my biggest issue, you put a rookie cornerback on a guy like Amari Cooper. I mean, think about it, okay? Crabtree's out of the game, okay? One of their best receivers out of the game. Now you got to match Bradley Roby up on Amari Cooper. Plain and simple. That is the most logical decision. It reminds me of the time where Jack Del Rio, who the Denver Broncos ironically went against in this game, the time where in the AFC divisional game in 2014, Jack Del Rio put Chris Harris Jr. on Reggie Wayne, and he put Aqib Talib on T.Y. Hilton, when it should have been the opposite. It should have been Aqib Talib on Reggie Wayne and Chris Harris Jr. on T.Y. Hilton. Instead, I just think that the Denver Broncos got taken advantage of in this situation with Bradley Roby not being placed on Amari Cooper. And it came back to bite the Denver Broncos in the tail late in the game. And rookie Brennan Langley had a very, very difficult game. And a lot of people are saying, well, John Elway and the Broncos shouldn't have cut Lorenzo Dawes. Now, here's another interesting point. Okay, if you didn't know, on Thanksgiving Day, the Broncos released Lorenzo Dawes due to him missing team meetings. Apparently, he was late to another team meeting. This is not the first time he's been late to a team meeting. So he got pretty much told. He got said, you're out the door. Vance Joseph, when asked in the press why they cut him, he said, we're trying to become a better football team. And so that's indicative of maybe kind of the personality that Lorenzo Dawes was in the locker room, a guy who has talent but never sniffed the field due to Bradley Roby, Chris Harris Jr., and obviously Aqib Talib being in the secondary. Now you got a guy in Brennan Langley who, had one of the worst games of his NFL career early on. He's a rookie. What do you expect in a situation like that? Your best cornerback gets thrown out of the game, and you get thrust into the fire against a guy like Amari Cooper. Now, I think that it's going to be a big tell. It's going to be a big tell for the Denver Broncos. Now, you know, the good thing about Brandon Langley is he has the opportunity to learn from the best. The three best, you know, two of the three best DBs in the National Football League with Chris Harris Jr., Aqib Talib. It's all about having a short-term memory. Now, one thing I noticed when going back on film with Brandon Langley is that his eyes and his feet placement were constantly out of place on the plays where he got beat, where he gave up a big play. Now, he gave up that inside move. He bit on the inside. Inside step on the goal line, on about the 16-yard line on Amari Cooper, and he turned his hips. Amari Cooper ran the fade, and then he had to turn all the way back around to try to get in position. He got burnt. And then late in the game, now here's where the Denver Broncos made the game interesting. Okay, we'll get. I can't really just say it right now because it ruins what happened in our recap. So. There's the play. Brandon Langley gets burned on. Denver Broncos find themselves down 21-0, and it's looking pretty bleak. Now, Paxton Lynch, man, I feel really bad for Paxton Lynch. And this is all going to lead up into the final recap on my Langley point here in just a few minutes. But I feel bad for Paxton Lynch, a guy who got hurt week three of the NFL preseason against the Green Bay Packers, hadn't played a lot. And he comes in. He doesn't do that well. He had maybe 50 something total yards of offense, and all the time that he was in there, he got sacked several times, held the ball a little too long several times, and just wasn't able to extend plays with his feet. Now the offensive line, granted, didn't give him a lot of help. Matt Paradise, Ron Leary, Alan Barber at right tackle, they struggled. They struggled immensely against Khalil Mack, Bruce Irvin, and even Navarro Bowman on the pass rush. And the defensive line for the Raiders did a very good job at swarming through the ball. The run game for the Denver Broncos was non-existent. Now, Paxton Lynch played, he didn't play consistently good. Okay, and in the process, he hurt his ankle. Apparently, it's a high ankle sprain. He's out for 2 to 4 weeks. And at this point, you're scratching your head thinking, well, dang, you know, we're going to use these next 5 to 6 weeks remaining of the season to see what Paxton Lynch has. And this is Benjamin Albright, okay, local blogger. I'll put that in quotes, local blogger. He had a very great point. Last night, if you witnessed the Packers and the Steelers game, Brett Hundley, okay, a couple weeks ago was having trouble connecting on throws, missing guys, missing open receivers, throwing picks, and he looked very, very good last night against the Pittsburgh Steelers. It just goes to show what more game reps, live reps, can do for a quarterback. Now, Paxton Lynch, at this point, him being out 2 to 4 weeks does not help with his audition for remaining on the Denver Broncos. The Broncos next year could have three completely new quarterbacks. None of these guys on the Broncos roster could be there at quarterback. These Brock Osweiler, Paxton Lynch, Trevor Siemian, all three of these guys could be gone from the Denver Broncos this offseason. That's a very distinct possibility that we have to kind of analyze going forward, but the likelihood of that is very real. The Broncos got things going. They got things going probably late in the third quarter, early fourth quarter. Paxton Lynch hurt his ankle, had to come out. Trevor Siemian comes back in, and Trevor's first four or five throws were terrible. Ball placement wasn't good. Footwork wasn't good. And then he started developing a little bit of rhythm, connected with Austin Traylor, connected with Cody Latimer, Benny Fowler, Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas, and then he obviously scored on a 4th and 6 on a 26-yard touchdown. Touchdown pass to Cody Latimer to make the score 21-7. Broncos went for an onside kick, and I don't think they really needed to. Gave the Raiders good field position at that point, and I just don't think that was a smart move to do at that point, especially when you had enough time left. But the way the Broncos defense was playing, they were thinking that, you know what, we have to take a chance here, and they did, and they didn't get the onside kick. But the defense kind of buckled down a little bit until the end, and I'll get to that in just a moment, but Trevor Siemian came in, and the Broncos actually moved the ball pretty well, produced more yards of offense in a quarter than Paxton Lynch did in about three quarters. So that's a positive, you know, thing that we want to look at. But the point is, you know what Trevor Siemian is. We know Trevor Siemian in the NFL is a good backup quarterback. He'll be a good backup quarterback. If he's the Broncos' backup quarterback next year, fine, perfect. Who's the starter? It's got to be a veteran, or it's got to be a guy you go for in the draft, and I'll get to that here in a second. But Trevor Siemian Freeman comes in and leads another drive, throws a touchdown strike to Benny Fowler to make the score 21-14 with about 2 minutes and 45 seconds left in the fourth quarter. And Broncos had two timeouts plus the 2-minute warning. The defense is on the field. They get a stop. And then they found themselves facing a third down situation. And this was with maybe a 1 minute 45 seconds left. The Broncos go cover zero, and the Raiders picked it up. Derek Carr and his veteran ability, his veteran knowledge of the game, picked it up, and he just floated it up. I mean, he was facing pressure right up the middle, and he just stepped back, and he just floated it up to Cordarrelle Patterson. And guess who was covering Cordarrelle Patterson? Brandon Langley. And the Broncos give up a huge catch and run. Couldn't tackle him. He extends that out to maybe about midfield, past midfield. And then, obviously, the Raiders took a knee. Game over. So the Broncos' comeback attempt falls short against the Oakland Raiders. And now Trevor Siemian will be the starting quarterback heading into the Miami game. Now, here's my biggest point before I close out the show. Obviously, I think it's important that we acknowledge that Trevor Siemian played really well. I get it. Okay, but what are the Broncos playing for right now? Playoff hopes are gone. The playoffs for the Denver Broncos are strictly something of 2 years ago. It's not a reality. It's a dream. It's a pastime. Now the Denver Broncos are stuck in a situation where they had their guy, had the rookie first-round draft pick from last year go down with an injury. He's out 2 to 4 weeks with a high ankle sprain. Right now, the Denver Broncos, you know, at this point, it's not about winning games right now. It's about securing very good positioning in the NFL draft. Now, the Broncos sitting at 3 wins on the year. The Giants sitting at about 2 wins on the year. The thing here, the Giants win one more game. They easily own the tiebreaker over Denver, so they move up into the 4th spot. Denver takes the number 3 spot, and the Denver Broncos could find themselves in the top 3 draft in draft picks. If the Browns win some games, the Browns win out, and Denver loses out, Denver will be the number 1 pick. So I just think overall, going back and through and just looking at everything, I think the Denver Broncos are in a bad situation here in terms of quarterback with Trevor Siemian starting. And the reason I say that is because Broncos fans and Broncos coaches, I'm sure, want to see what Paxton Lynch has to offer. Now, I'm not writing Paxton Lynch off after one poor performance, one poor game. Okay, look what happened with Brett Hundley down there in Green Bay. He had the game of his life, and they competed really well against a very talented Pittsburgh Steelers squad that's going to be going to the playoffs. They'll probably be in the AFC Championship game against the New England Patriots. That's the likely matchup. Now, with more live reps, Paxton Lynch can develop. Now, if Paxton Lynch can't develop, if Paxton Lynch continues to struggle, if he were healthy in this last game, in these last few games for the Denver Broncos, at that point, you know, okay, it's time to move on from Paxton Lynch. Now the Broncos are finding themselves in a predicament where, well, we don't know what's going on. We have no clue right now what is going on with Paxton Lynch. He's injured. He's out 2 to 4 weeks. Well, guess what? There's only about 5 or 6 weeks left in the NFL season. So at this point, you know, you're going to have to bring maybe Paxton Lynch into next year, into preseason. If he doesn't play well in preseason, maybe he's gone. Maybe you release him. But the one thing that really bothers me, if you followed me on Twitter, you seen that I was pretty upset. Now, obviously, after Paxton Lynch got hurt and obviously was on the bench, his day was done. He was announced as out. The CBS cameras panned to him, and he was crying. He had tears in his eyes, and he was upset. Now, Mark Kisla of the Denver Post, this is the stuff that bothers me. Mark Kisla in general bothers me because he put out an article saying that, because of the Keep to Leave fight, the Broncos, you know, this and that are terrible. And then Paxton Lynch was crying like a crybaby, calling him a crybaby. Now, this is the thing that pisses me off. Now, Mark Kisla, if you ever listen to this show, I hope you listen to this, and I hope you take a look in the mirror and realize that you are no better than anybody else out there. Now, you have the courage to type behind a keyboard and a screen and attack a player, an NFL player who's put in a lot of work and time and energy and who's showing emotion. You have the ability and the right to attack him, yet you will never attack him about that personally to his face because you hide behind a paper and a keyboard, and I think that's very cowardice. I can't stand that. When did journalism turn into this thing where, okay, well, let's write this most slanderous piece of information and news that we can and let it stick and cause controversy? That's all it is meant to do, is to cause controversy, and at what expense? at the expense of a guy who's busted his tail to play football from high school to college to the National Football League, and you, some hack journalist, some hack writer, is going to sit there and pretty much say, well, you're a crybaby because you're hurt or you got benched. It's called showing emotion. And since when did the expectation become the fact where grown men, NFL athletes, aren't allowed to show emotion? Plain and simple, that's what's wrong with our society. That's what's wrong with sports journalism. That's what's wrong. And you wonder why athletes get upset or athletes don't want to take the time to talk to media? I wonder why. It's because we have guys like Mark Kisla who sit behind a keyboard all day and write slanderous things or attack the character of a player or make fun of a player because he's showing emotion in tears on the sideline, and all of a sudden that's the hot piece because guess what? It's going to stir up more controversy. And then when you're face to face with that person, your smiles, you're fake, you don't even bring it up. You don't have the courage to attack him about being a quote-unquote crybaby to his face. That's my biggest issue, and I think that's completely wrong. So shame on you, Mark Kisla. Shame on you completely. I don't respect that, and neither should you guys. But I shouldn't be up here telling you what you should and should not respect. I'm just saying that's something that really fires me up and makes me quite angry at the world of sports. Now, we have a great platform here, Locked On Broncos. Obviously, the Locked On Podcast Network has a lot of great shows that I love, and I hope you enjoy listening to as well. And if you love listening to Locked On Broncos, I want you to take the time, head over to Adam Mattis over there at Locked On Nuggets. He gives you his daily podcast recap, insight, interviews with some great people around the NBA world and community regarding the NBA, Denver Nuggets opponents, and the Denver Nuggets in general. Obviously, now they're going to be without Paul Millsap for up to 3 months. Adam Mattis has you covered with all the latest news on what the Nuggets are going to be doing over there in his absence, as well as Matt Williamson's Locked On NFL, keeping you up to date with the latest NFL news, analysis, draft updates as well, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. So, to close out the show here over at Locked On Broncos, the Broncos, they need to play for draft position now. Like I said, the Broncos are in a bad predicament due to the fact that Paxton Lynch is now hurt and is going to be out up to a month. Now, you really lose the ability to evaluate what potential Paxton Lynch can bring to this Denver Broncos team. And ultimately, now you have to look into the fact, and I said this yesterday, after watching Paxton Lynch play, it is evident that the Denver Broncos need to do one of two things. You're either going to get a sure thing guy in the top five, top three in the NFL draft this year. I don't know who it's going to be. Lamar Jackson, Darnold, Rosen, Mayfield. I don't know. I'd go with Lamar Jackson. But you're going to go with either one of those guys, a prolific quarterback in this year's draft class for quarterbacks, or you pursue a veteran free agent. You pursue a Drew Brees, a Kirk Cousins, a Phillip Rivers, Teddy Bridgewater. Maybe you trade for Teddy Bridgewater. Maybe you trade for Tyrod Taylor. Maybe you try to get Kyle Sloter back. I don't know. But you got to do something in the element of the quarterback game, preferably a veteran, a guy you can bring in to mentor a guy like Paxton Lynch or Trevor Siemian, whoever may stay. I don't know. I have no idea. Or you bring in a vet. You offset. You get rid of Osweiler, Siemian, Paxton Lynch. You bring in a veteran quarterback. You draft in the first round. You draft one of these prolific quarterbacks in this draft class, and you have him sit a couple years behind a veteran like Breeze or Rivers or whoever it may be to develop and mold. Okay. Now, I don't think Vance Joseph is going to be back for the Denver Broncos this year. I think losing seven games in a row is the nail in the coffin for Vance Joseph's career. You don't come, you know, we talked about it with Nick Ferguson on Sunday's pregame show. The expectation in Denver is to win. Now, when you're not winning games, the pressure's on. The likelihood of you keeping your job is limited. Now, the Denver Broncos are probably going to fire several coaches. And I think one of them is going to be Vance Joseph, per several sources. That's some of the rumors that are rumbling around out there. Maybe not be right now, but it may be at the end of the year. Joe Woods is another candidate. Brock Olivoe is another candidate. The Denver Broncos could be heading into 2018 once again with an entirely new staff. And that right there is kind of frustrating because that does have the sound of rebuild. Now, if you bring in a veteran coach, a guy like John Gruden, or maybe you make a run at Jim Harbaugh, there's rumors about Jim Harbaugh being available for the right price in the NFL. maybe at that point you don't consider it a rebuild. But right now the Denver Broncos are heading towards a complete rebuild due to the fact that they're 3-7 on the year, 3-8, and they've lost 7 straight games. Yeah, 3-8. They've lost 7 straight games. Playoff hopes are done for. You need to position yourself for a top pick in the top 3 or top 5 of the NFL draft. And at that point, that's where you make your living. And that's where you start to rebuild. The last time the Denver Broncos had a top 3, top 2 pick in the NFL draft, guess who was drafted? His name was Von Miller. He single-handedly had a part in why Denver won in the AFC Championship game back in 2015 against Tom Brady, as well as a big reason why they won Super Bowl 50 against the MVP of the National Football League that year, Cam Newton, and the Carolina Panthers, who were unstoppable. Everybody didn't give Denver a chance, but guess what? Von Miller changed the narrative of that game. And in the NFL draft, when you pick and you have a prestigious organization like the Denver Broncos, you have John Elway, Joe Ellis, you have a legendary owner in Pat Bowlen, and the expectation has never, ever changed. With a top pick, that can be the difference maker for the Denver Broncos in terms of them reloading or rebuilding. I don't believe that they're going to be rebuilding. I believe they're going to reload. They're going to reload in the offseason and free agency, addressing the inside linebacker position and, more importantly, the offensive line positions where they've struggled immensely for the last couple of years. That's where they're going to attack. And obviously, quarterback, a veteran quarterback is going to be on the radar, as well as a quarterback in the first round of the draft. Those are the options for the Denver Broncos, and I'm excited to see about it. I don't know about you guys. Tweet me your thoughts at Locked On Broncos, at Cody Rourke NFL. No victory Monday here today, but we'll be back here tomorrow, Locked On Broncos, to talk about the latest news, the injury report. Some big names for the Denver Broncos are in danger of not playing against the Miami Dolphins. Domantas Peko, Derek Wolfe, a few that we're going to name there. We'll analyze the practice report tomorrow on Locked On Broncos and a look ahead at the Miami Dolphins here on Locked On Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. This is your host, Cody Rourke, saying good night and go Broncos.